Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Okay, folks, it's the off season, supposedly. And like all the other sports, the NBA and free agents and all the deal making and so forth is, well, it's just as big and just as popular as the games themselves. Gary Tagway here along with Bob Ryan. It is the Ryan Jeff Goodman podcast. Jeff is on a plane right now. We are going to hear from him later on, thanks to technology. He's going to give us his comments on what's going on with the Celtics. But this program is powered by our partners at Bet Online as they continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Okay, Bob, let's get to it. We got a lot going on now.
Yeah.
The crazy thing with Durant, Shyam Sharania reporting that the Warriors, Suns, Raptors, and Heat are all in position to make a deal for Durant. He wants out. Kyrie is back in. What do you make of this whole thing?
God, it is a soap opera. And his life, his career. And of course, we know that Irving's is unprecedented in NBA history, but Durant is certainly carving out a unique path for himself. This is, I mean, what are they going to have to give up? What are they giving up if they get him? I mean, they're the defending champs. They're in good shape. They have lost a couple of their depth components in Payton II and Otto Porter, each of whom have left them, but they did re-sign Looney. The core, the big three are still left. I don't know.
Bob, the one thing that came to my mind is, right, okay, if you're the Warriors, do you need to make this deal? No.
No.
You don't. You don't need to make it. So then you go to the Suns, right? The Suns are a team that they're trying to get over the hump. So Booker just signs an extension. What do you do there? Because if you're the Nets, you go, I want Booker. I mean,
of course. Peter to pay Paul, more or less. This is what is going to be intriguing about it. Who's going to, you know, who wants them badly enough to, and who has enough components to make the Nets happy? They don't have to make this trade.
It's going to be months to take to make this happen.
Now, they don't have to make this trade.
Like, if you're the Heat, right, what do you give up?
You know, they got a lot of goods, but not, you know, other than, but their best, you know, their marquee player is Butler. All right, fine. Who's, I believe, I would say 3 years younger at 34 versus 31, 31 versus 34, I guess. Any of these, I'm just sitting back and watching it. I'm not sure it's worth moving heaven and earth. He'll get hurt this year somewhere. And I think, and I mean, it's just, and from the Nets point of view, yeah, if they're stuck with a disgruntled superstar, that's never a good thing either. So they're this is just, you know, but I understand why he would. I can understand his thinking, it ain't going to happen here now. This whatever we thought was going to happen, we had the three, and you know, Harden's gone. Kyrie is Kyrie. He's gone more or less. He's back, but he isn't. And I don't need this anymore. I can see that.
He made a mistake. I mean, basically, he's admitting that.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got a lot of money. You know, he's laughing all, you know, he's crying all the way to the bank. Right, I'll put it that way. Right. That's for sure. But who isn't in that league, right? Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you take a look at it, you know, I think the Raptors are out. I think the Heat are out. Maybe the Warriors and the Suns would have the star power to make it. I mean, the Warriors would have to give up some of those young players.
Yeah, I mean obviously, the if we're talking Wiggins and Jordan
Wiseman
Poole?
Or
Jordan Poole?
So, yeah.
I mean, you know, I can see if they want to say, okay, Clay, you've done your job here. And, you know, he's never going to be what he was. He's still good, but he's not great. But is that enough to interest the Nets, even if the Warriors did dangle Clay Thompson? It's fascinating. I mean, you know, we can throw all these scenarios out. When it's all said and done, and they throw the ball up in October, it wouldn't surprise me if he's still there.
I think he will be, Bob. The only team I see that would be desperate enough to be would be the Suns, because somehow the Suns would have to work something out. Because I mean, right now they have to beat Golden State, right? And the West has some very good players. We saw that they have some West star players. So the Suns would have to get desperate or believe that he would be the answer. And let's just talk about Durant for a minute. He's older. He did not play well in the playoffs. He's been hurt. Do you move heaven and earth for Kevin Durant? And I can't believe I'm saying this.
If I'm the Warriors and I've got what I got and I would have to give up what I'd have to give up, I don't understand why they'd want to
do it. I wouldn't do it.
I don't understand why they wouldn't want to do it at all. And, you know, but and just in terms of detaching him from the whole, his perambulations, you know, I mean, he's been in search of redemption in a sense ever since he left to go to Golden State. Then he was, you know, lambasted for ring, you know, searching and hunting and piling on a team that already proven they can win without him. Okay, so he has his success there, and then skips out of there. I mean, you know, he wants to be loved, but he'll never be loved the way, you know, a few others of that ilk are. Like, he'll never be loved the way Seth is loved.
Right.
And he won't even be, I don't know whether we declare that LeBron is now, you know, mostly loved. I mean, I certainly respect him. I don't have any problems with what he's done. You know, I long ago forgave him for the decision because my God, yeah, it was 12 years ago.
I know. To me, that was such
get over it, people.
I mean,
anybody's, you know, still lingering on that.
I get over it. I mean, I think LeBron has been great for the league. If that's the worst thing you can come up with to pin on LeBron James, then sure.
And he's semi made amends for it. You know,
I mean, think so. I think so. Now, but just to wrap up Durant here.
Yeah.
I just think that it's a real shame because I think he's one of the greatest players to ever play the game. And I think that that's going to be forgotten a little bit, you know.
Well, I'll try to keep, you know, make sure with my hand that won't happen. He's in the discussion. He's a top 10 all-time player.
Candidate. I mean, a seven-footer. I always forgot that he was 7 feet. I don't want to talk like that he's retiring. I always forgot he was 7 feet.
Yeah. Well, same with Garnett. And, right. And Garnett kind of set the table for those guys. Said he was not going to be labeled as a center. He was not going to be able to allow to be positioned as a five man. And Durant has never, ever had to worry about that. I think one reason he has never had to worry about that was the example that was set by Garnett. So he owes him something.
All right. Now let's get to move on to the Celtics and the moves that they've made.
Yes.
Our colleague Jeff Goodman is on assignment. However, he did send in his opinion of the arrival of Gallinari and Brogdon to the Celtics. Jeff, what do you think?
All right. First, my take on the Celtics moves. Malcolm Brogdon, absolutely love it. I know the price is a little bit steep, but I just think he gives you exactly what you need, which is a ball mover, a highly intelligent basketball player who makes the correct play 9 out of every 10 times. He's a better shooter than he showed last year. He can guard. He does it differently than Marcus Smart. Not that he makes Marcus Smart expendable, but I think he just gives you another option and kind of a change of pace guy. You know, doesn't go too fast. You can't speed him up too much. So I love Brogdon for this team as long as he stays healthy, obviously with that caveat. Gallinari, just like him because he's a proven scorer, shooter. So whether he's 0-for-7 or 5-for-7, they still have to guard him, which creates space for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Now to the Kevin Durant move. Listen, you know, to me, it's tough because this isn't the old Kevin Durant. This isn't the Golden State Warriors Kevin Durant anymore. Number one, he's a lot older. He's got more mileage on him. Two, I just question his decision-making more. You know, if his head is clear and, you know, he's the best player on the planet still. You know, he can do what Giannis can't, which is shoot the ball from three. But I'm not sure he's there. So I'm torn on this one. You know, to me, if you could get him, you know, for Jaylen Brown and a number one or two number one picks, I probably would do it. If you have to throw in Marcus Smart plus Jaylen Brown and a couple picks, which probably you have to do for the money to make sense, I'm not sure I'd do it. But again, listen, to me, with Kevin Durant, your chances certainly improve in winning titles the next couple of years. And there's no guarantee Jaylen Brown's going to be here beyond this contract either. So you don't know. It's not you're saying like, okay, we don't want to trade Jaylen Brown because we know he's going to be here forever. We don't know that. Also don't know whether or not this team's going to pick up exactly where it left off. I think they're better with the additions of Brogdon and Gallinari, but again, they got a little bit fortunate playing Milwaukee without Middleton, playing a Miami team that was banged up. So again, I'm torn on whether or not you make a run at Kevin Durant, whether you pull the trigger if you're Brad Stevens. I see the pros and I see the cons.
Okay, Bob, that's what Jeff thinks. Personally, I think this is a great move by Brad Stevens. I this is a win-win across the board. Your thoughts?
When we last met, I jokingly said, as we surveyed the possible list of people that the Celtics could pick up or would go after us in any way, whether it be free agency or trade, and one of the names that came up was Malcolm Brogdon. And I jokingly said, I want Brogdon on this team. They should get him in order to give Grant Williams someone to talk to and an allusion to his
erudite. That's right. Yeah. Right.
An allusion to his erudite nature. And we know what a Renaissance man Grant Williams is. Well, this guy is too. This guy graduated from the University of Virginia with 2 degrees. He was a 24-year-old rookie because he went through the old-fashioned process of actually being a college student and emerging with proof in the form of 2 degrees. He's a very aware young man. I doubt very much, as I feel it's the case with Grant Williams, that his post-career future is in basketball. If it is, fine, but I suspect he'll find some other way and make his way through life. All right. As a player, just for the bare bones of it, for people who aren't familiar enough with Malcolm Brogdon, he was in his 6-year career, he is now has a career average of 15.5 points a game. He's had his highest. He's averaged 20. He's averaged 19 last year. In his last 3 years, he's a career 38% 3-point shooter, a career 50% shooter overall. And a career 88% foul shooter, folks. You want him on the floor in the last 2 minutes, last 5 minutes, last 12 minutes. He's had a 90-point year, percent year once upon a time. And as a bonus, his last 3 years assist totals are 7.1, 5.9, 5.9. 7, 6, and 6, in other words. This is and he can defend. This is a good basketball player, and this is a very, very big adjunct to the cause.
And Brad Stevens for the second year in a row, I mean, making it better. So
he swept these guys out the sea that they don't need and brought in useful people 2 years in a row.
I know. I mean, you know, and they lost Tyus and Nesmith. And Nesmith, you know, if he develops, great, but we don't have time to wait for that. Now, Brogdon, how does he fit with Smart?
Well, I mean, first of all, he's an old-fashioned basketball player. He's not a point guard. He's not a guard. He's a guard. He's a player. He can. I just pointed out, he can shoot and he can pass. He knows how to play the game. He doesn't have to be labeled. He gives you a guy. If you want to give Smart, they can play together. If you want to give Smart a blow, he can run the team. This may, we can have this debate and we're going to see how it plays out, whether this means they do not now have to go search out a quote legitimate backup point guard. Was something that we all thought that they needed, because it isn't Peyton Pritchard. They wish it were, but it isn't. Not that he can't still be on the team, but that's not the role. He's not going to fulfill that role.
Right.
Now they don't have to worry about it. And they also got Derek White. Now he's a guy that might be affected more than anybody by this. You know, do you need him? If you got you got safety in numbers always, but that'll be interesting. Well, maybe it's great to have the two of them. But,
I think it is, because I'll tell you, Bob, I looked at this team last year and I thought it was the starting five and that was it. The bench was, now you have a bench that is legitimately, you can go 8 guys.
And yeah, right. And you still need a backup center because Tice is gone. And I think it's Luke Kornet. And there were one guy that was discussed is no longer on the table. He's off the table. And that's Thomas Bryant, has signed with the Lakers. So it won't be him. There's still probably some big bodies floating out there. Now, there's another guy that's coming. It's not just about Malcolm Brogdon.
Right.
It'll be very interesting to see how much gas is left in the tank of Danilo Gallinari. This is a 14-year veteran, folks, a career 38% three-point shooter. His last 4 years as a three-point shooter are 4.33, 4.05, 4.08, and 3.81. Last year was almost a career low, 38. He's a career 15 points a game, 16 points a game player. This is his sixth team. He doesn't defend well. He's a specialist, and his specialty is putting the old orange ball through the orange ring.
Right.
And knows what he's doing, been around. I mean, you know, this is 14 years. You've been searching for that, as I like to call it, a guy who puts down on his IRS form, you know, an occupation, registered jump shooter. Well, he is. Now, what's he got left? He might not, you know, there's a slight indication, you know, he was down a little last year, as I said, from his career over 40. He did shoot 38, but we'll take 38.
You know what I think he is, Bob? I think he's a guy that during the regular season, you don't have to burn him out. But, I mean, he could certainly contribute in play. When you get into the playoffs, there's going to be one or two games where Gallinari wins it for you. Well, you know, he comes out, he's hot, you know, and he wins you some games. And we saw that with the 08 team. You had some veterans, the P.J. Browns of the world, the guys who came in, like, made a shot. Here, I think
Eddie House, of course.
Eddie House.
Instrumental. And absolutely. So, yes. Oh, no, you need these people. And now, suddenly, as you pointed out, suddenly the bench on paper right now, compared to what it was when we last saw them, by the addition of these two guys that lengthened the length. Oh my God! You know, what was the last playoff game? 5 points off the bench.
It was terrible. Six? I mean, it's terrible.
Now we still got Pritchard who light. You know, he can come in and light it up once in a while.
You know, Grant Williams can help you out, but I mean, they have a true NBA veteran bench now.
Yeah, I like.
They got a legit bench.
So
that's huge.
We got a good general manager. Now, I think based on personnel, you know, spotting. Now, I just want to address in his, you know, farewell, Aaron Nesmith. When he was drafted, I won't say ecstatic, but I was very buoyant. I targeted him. He was the 14th pick in the draft. I thought he was a steal. He had shot 52% as a three-point shooter in the most athletic league in the conference in America, the SEC. I was excited. And, of course, we know it didn't materialize except in very small bursts. Turned out he could defend more reliably, consistently, better than he could shoot. And he had little bursts here and there, but it never happened. I hope he has a career. He seems like a hard worker. There's a worthy kid. I hope that he can get resurrected or get, you know, on his feet and somewhere else. But it was no problem sacrificing him. He's the best player they gave up, and that's pretty good to get what they got.
I agree. All right, Bob, quick break in the action here before we continue with some of the offseason moves. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. They've got the latest odds, news, and sports developments, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and next season's National Football League futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and, of course, your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's really easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device and sign up. Use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That is CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. Okay, a couple of big moves here now. The T-Wolves extending Karl-Anthony Towns, making a deal and bringing in Gobert. Let's first start with the T-Wolves because obviously this is an indication of a new direction for the Jazz. Your thoughts on that from a Minnesota perspective?
Fascinating because you're talking about suddenly 2 7-footers that have different games. And I can't wait to see this. I really want to see this, exactly how they're going to do it. We know that Karl-Anthony Towns can face up and is a modern three-point shooting big man who also can post up if it's needed. Rudy Gobert is a throwback. You know, there's no secrets about his offense. And he's out there to block shots and get rebounds. And he has been a defensive player of the year. I mean, just by picking him up, you've changed the nature of your defense for sure. I just find it fascinating, and that's where he landed. You know, there was talk. We're not surprised he's leaving Utah. We're not sure ever that there was a reconciliation that was going to last between himself and Donovan Mitchell, if that was the case. And so that being the case, I understand, you know, him going there, but wow, We haven't. I'm sorry, think of a front line of a team like that. And last time we saw one, do we have to go back to our own 36 years ago with McHale and Bird and McHale and Parrish?
You go Twin Towers with Houston?
Yeah, Twin Towers with Houston is a very good analogy. And Ralph, of course, was a precursor of the future because he didn't want to be a post-up guy at 7-4. Right. I always said about Ralph, you know, Gary, that if he could have paid $1 million for an operation that would have made him 6'4", he would have paid it.
Yeah.
That he did not want to be 7'4". He did not. He wanted that. He's cried out, I'm not a freak. I'm not 7'4". I can shoot. Watch me. I don't need to be under the basket. Watch me. So he was a little like a John the Baptist, you know, for the future, setting the table and showing us the way of the future. But anyway, yes, good analogy. But we haven't had a thing like this in a while because the game, you know, the league's actually trending smaller, as you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. And the big guys are skilled. I mean, you know, now it's like, do you even look at somebody's height anymore? It's like if I see a star player, right? I mean, we're going to get to Chet Holmgren in a minute.
Yeah, we will.
Okay. But like, you know, I mean, as soon as Magic came in, it became a point guard at 6'9". And then, you know, Durant 7 feet, this guy's 6'9". No one cares. Like, I don't even know if people look at it. You go, okay, the guy's tall, but he can shoot the three. It doesn't really matter.
No, the old fashioned big man is pretty much
it doesn't matter. I'm sorry, Bob. Do you have something else?
Yeah, no. The old fashioned big man, you know, I mean, we've said this count time and again, is pretty much it almost viewed as a liability, you know, and very interesting. I mean, let me tell you a guy. Here's a guy that had a brief spurt, they had a good playoff run. My God, I guess it's 9 years ago. I think it was 13. I remember traveling across the country following him this series. Remember Roy Hibbert?
Yeah.
Where's Roy Hibbert today?
Right.
Well, he's unemployed. I don't know. I hope he's happy. I hope he made some money. But, you know, the Roy Hibberts, nobody wants them.
Yep.
Nope. Because they don't even, but they're hardly presented to you because they're from high school on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're trained to face up.
Oh, I agree, and it's more fun. Now, the Jazz are going in a different direction. They have a new young head coach.
Yeah.
And they picked up 6 first-round picks to build around Mitchell.
Oh, that trade is – good luck anybody can memorize. You have to sit down and memorize, like memorizing a poem to memorize.
Oh, yeah, forget it. I just remember Patrick Beverly and a bunch of picks and a bunch of guys. But you know something, though? This is my point with Phoenix. If you're in the West and you're looking at Golden State, and if you're looking at Utah, you know, whether the big guy, you know, whether Gobert and Mitchell got along, it just wasn't going to happen with them.
No.
They weren't going to win a title with the way the West is won now. So I think it's a good move by Utah to say, okay.
By the way, who's making these decisions? Is there somebody we know out there?
Let me see. Good golfer, played at BYU.
Yeah.
Had an okay 3-point shot. And when I said that on the air, he was very upset with me and Danny Ainge.
And played a little baseball in his time. Yeah.
Played a little baseball in his time, right?
Well, isn't it funny that he's the guy that now stockpiled 117 draft picks?
Well, we've seen this drill before.
Yep.
We've seen it before.
That leopard ain't changing his spots.
No, but you know what? You know, the thing about Danny, I always, if Kyrie had not blown up on him, you know, it would have been another great move, like the Garnett move. You know, I think people hold that against Danny, and I have a problem with that.
Oh, no, you know. Yeah, I have a major problem with that. Danny deserves a number. You know, he deserves a something, some eternal, commemoration here.
Boston. No question. No doubt.
His overall contribution.
Okay, let's wrap up with Chet Holmgren. Now, here's the kid, the second-round pick overall from Gonzaga. And in a summer league game, he set a record, 23 points in the first quarter. Now, folks, again, this is summer league, but Bob, this caught your eye.
Well, I mean, we talked about Chet and the run up to the draft. I am totally fascinated with him and wondering. I can't wait to see how it all plays out. You know, we all know that he's 7 feet tall, or maybe even 7'1", and he does not weigh 200 pounds. And there has not been a player of consequence who has succeeded in this league at that size with a body like that I can think of. At all. I mean, some slitty guys, but this is the extreme, absolute extreme. Now, he is incredibly skilled. He's a three-point shooter. He can pass, can handle the ball. He can go coast to coast on you, folks. Someday he's going to, you know, we're going to see this at 7-1. He's going to get a rebound. He's going to take it all away, and he's going to go around somebody and probably maybe go behind the back or between his legs and then dunk on you backwards or something. He'll do this sooner or later. But his in our first look at him as a paid professional was jaw-dropping. Folks, in case you don't know, he had 23 points, six blocks. One of them was a two-hand block that's just totally swallowed up a poor bastard driving on the left baseline. He was 4-for-4 on threes, and he unveiled a Dirk Nowitzki step back 18-footer in the middle of the lane, in the middle of the, down the lane, or seven, you know, 13-14-footer, because it was a little before the foul line again. Yeah. It was, you know, as Gary has just pointed out, folks, it's only a summer league game, but that was our first glimpse of him, and how this is going to play out. How much weight will he gain? Weight? How much does he need? Will it be an impediment? Or it's all a blank canvas. But oh boy, was that a tease? Was that a colossal tease? If you're a Thunder fan, you know that was positively orgasmic what happened last night, to think about what you might have. And I underline the way it might. I can't wait to see how it plays out.
Bob, great stuff as always. And the off season is just as busy as the regular season. So Jeff Goodman will be with us again next week, we hope, planning on it. And there'll be more stuff to talk about, despite the fact there's not a game.